Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
A bad banana. Now, with any luck, we'll all be sitting down this Christmas and binging our way through hours and hours of the classical seasonal films. Adam Maguire from the RTE Business Desk is here to talk us through the all-time hits and the box office flops. And Adam is also going to delve into his own personal favourite subgenre, the Hallmark Christmas film. But more on that to come. Adam, what Christmas film was the biggest box office hit of all time?
I think this is going to surprise people because it's probably not considered a classic. It's not one of the ones, if you ask what's the big Christmas film, in part because it's relatively new, and the clue there was in our opening music. The highest grossing Christmas film of all time was The Grinch, the 2018 animation.
Really surprised at that.
Yeah, based on the Dr. Seuss book from the 50s, of course. $540 million on its release 6 years ago. Not to be confused with the 2000 live action version with Jim Carrey. Also, that did quite well, $547 million. And in both cases, they're films that I actually would have, if you'd asked me, said maybe the Jim Carrey one was actually a flop, but it turns out it was a massive hit. So it means that the 2020 version was a bigger earner than what many people would say is the classic Christmas film, which is Home Alone.
I would have thought that would have been top of the pops here.
Yeah, well, that made $477 million at the box office, most of which was made in the initial release, but there have been re-releases for anniversaries and that kind of thing. It is probably not, though, a fair comparison to make because, of course, Home Alone came out in 91, cinema ticket prices were much lower. A dollar was worth a lot more back then as well. So when you adjust for inflation, Home Alone is the big box office winner in terms of Christmas films. It did essentially $1 billion when you adjust for inflation. So way above what The Grinch did a couple of years ago. Sequel also did very well. It made $359 million in 92, the equivalent of about $800 million today. So you're talking close to $2 billion across those two films as well. And I think what's really remarkable about the Home Alone films is that they're just two of many classics that the writer John Hughes, he churned it. He was kind of a classic film machine for the 80s and 90s. He made, in the 80s and 90s, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller. He also contributed to the kind of holiday genre a lot with Planes, Trains and Automobiles, which is a Thanksgiving film, but it kind of feels Christmassy.
Yeah, fits into the season.
Uncle Buck, which isn't a Christmas film, but it feels Christmassy. It's a lot of snow and, you know, cozy kind of film. And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation he made the year before Home Alone, which is a kind of cult Christmas classic.
Good man, John. John Hughes, knocking it out of the park. So the other Christmas films then that did well at the box office, what's on the list?
Yeah, Jim Carrey features again, actually, 2009's animated version of A Christmas Carol made $325 million, which it makes it the most successful version of A Christmas Carol because there are lots of versions. We have the Muppets version, of course, Mickey Mouse version, the Scrooged, which is a take on Christmas Carol. Another animated film, Polar Express, made $315 million at the box office.
That was so weird.
Yeah, they're kind of creepy dead eyes with the characters. They used motion capture, and it was kind of early technology thing. And I don't really like it at all.
Because I saw the trailers.
Odd. Yeah, hugely popular, and a lot of people think it's kind of one of the classics. Love Actually made $250 million at the box office, which is very good for like a British film, but again, it's become a cult classic. Elf has made $225 million. Again, one of those kind of unexpected hits that's now kind of part of the seasonal lore.
That's our go-to.
It's probably one of the best newish. It's not really new anymore. I think it's like 20 years old.
You seen the new Netflix one, That Christmas?
No.
It's a great one. It's out this year. And
this is Richard Curtis.
Yes.
Yeah, based on the books. I haven't watched it yet, but it's on the list.
To look forward to.
Yeah. Klaus on Netflix is another lovely one as well.
I'll write that down.
That's a really, really nice one, yeah. Now we get into the Is This a Christmas Film territory? Mm-hmm. Because Gremlins made $154 million back in 1984, equivalent to $461 million today. It's kind of a horror film, but it's set at Christmas time. And the rule of thumb is Christmas integral to the plot? Would the plot film happen if it wasn't Christmas time? And Gizmo is a Christmas gift, so It's a Christmas film.
Right.
And then we have Die Hard, of course, the other one.
The most un-Christmassy series ever.
He's travelling for Christmas. It's a Christmas party, so it counts as a Christmas film. Mm-hmm. Die Hard 2 made $240 million in 1990. That's around $566 million today. The first Die Hard made $141 million in 88. That's about $370 million today. And my bit of Die Hard trivia that you can fascinate people with over the Christmas table, dinner table, the part of John McClane was actually first offered to Frank Sinatra.
No.
Who was 70 at the time. He declined.
Yippee-ki-yay.
And then it went to Bruce Willis. It was a technicality. It was based on a book, and Frank Sinatra had done a film, The Detective, years before, based on another book in the series, and part of the contract was he was got first refusal on any sequels, so they had to offer it to him, even though he was obviously never
we all would
do
have
it.
Watched that, you know?
70-year-old Frank Sinatra climbing around an air conditioning
I'm
duct
there for
I mean, you know, we'd love to see it, like, you know.
Listen, Christmas flops, can we talk about those?
Yeah, and we've had a big one this year, Red One. It made around $175 million at the box office, which is actually pretty good. You know, that's not bad, but it cost $250 million to make, thanks to kind of an all-star cast, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Chris Evans, Lucy Liu, lots of expensive special effects, lots of on-set problems and delays and reshoots and all this kind of stuff. So the rule of thumb is you need to make twice your budget to make your money back. So they would have needed to have made about $500 million, nowhere near that, and it's not going to happen either.
But the box office isn't really where they make the money now, is it?
Well, no, but like, that's an Amazon film. So like, they wanted for their catalogue, but they had hoped it would be part of a franchise. I think the plan was this would be, you know, they'd have a series of Christmassy, like Red 1, Red 2, Red 3, and that's probably not going to happen now because it costs so much. Another flop that surprised me was Miracle on 34th Street, the remake of the classic film in 94. Richard Attenborough and Mara Wilson in that one. No details in the budget, but only took in $46 million, which isn't great, really.
Yeah, it's hard to go back at those classics, though, isn't it?
It is, and
it rarely works.
I was singing the praises of John Hughes earlier. He was co-writer on this remake, so everyone has a bad day. John Hughes had a bad day, and
poor old John.
He's done enough, so you know we can let him away with that one.
But like, nowadays, the box office is really only part of the story, isn't it?
Yeah, really. And this is kind of what's interesting about Christmas films, because you know, more so than your standard release, if you, and kind of like with Christmas songs, if you become a classic, it means you're going to be watched
again and again, year in, year out.
And, you know, we're talking about Home Alone, which came out in 91, 92. You know, it's still a classic, you know. And in the past, that would have meant home video and DVD sales, because people want to have their Christmas film ready to go that they can watch whenever they want. You know, around 11 million Home Alone VHSs were sold in the US alone, for example. Jim Carrey's The Grinch shifted 21 million videos and DVDs in the US. So that's hundreds of millions of dollars more on top of the box office. And nowadays, of course, we're talking about streaming, that, you know, it's important draw in for viewers to have the classic Christmas films. You know, Disney has a massive back catalogue of films. It's spent billions putting new content on Disney Plus, but the ads at the moment heavily feature Home Alone, letting people know, if you want to watch Home Alone, subscribe to Disney. So it's a way of kind of generating their new subscribers. Not to mention all the TV channels that want to kind of fill their schedule with classic Christmas films as well. You know, It's a Wonderful Life is a kind of standard bear, 78 years old, but it's on TV this Christmas. People will sit down and watch it, and will, you know, go out of their way to record it. And, you know, the money that broadcasters or even streamers pay for these films is probably not enormous, depending on the film and exclusivity and all that kind of stuff. But if you're earning a little bit from one channel in every country every year, it all adds up to a lot of money coming in.
Yeah,
you
like
know.
John Hughes, like, I'm sure he's okay. You know,
well, yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's, you know, he's done pretty well for himself. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you know, it's kind of just one of those things where, you know, you just keep earning on the back of it in one way or the other. Basically.
So what's this about you now and the Hallmark films? You love them, do you?
It's kind of like the parallel universe of Christmas films, you know, because you can talk about box office takings all we want, but this is completely irrelevant to that. It's kind of, it's hard to think of a name for them. Like, you might call them B-movies or you might call them, you know, made-for-TV films. Yeah. Hallmark movies is way, but there are other companies that make them. Hallmark are kind of the leading purveyor of the subgenre. It's basically extremely low budget and what can be described as very basic plot lines, but they're hugely, hugely popular.
Yeah, because really sometimes you just want to sit down and watch something that doesn't ask any questions of your brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that you can kind of give out about afterwards.
And you know it's going to be heartwarming, it's going to be family friendly. Some people like watching it in an ironic way because it's so bad that, you know, they kind of sit and laugh at it and kind of feel a bit superior as well. But yeah, hugely popular. Hallmark is making 32 Christmas films this year.
This year alone,
yeah. And you know, I tried to figure out how many they've made in total. It's somewhere in the region of 300 to 450 Christmas films Hallmark have made.
Clearly, there's an economic model that's working there.
Absolutely, yeah. And like, they're dirt cheap. They're basically less than $2 million to make, which is a lot of money, of course, but in the scheme of, you know, films and TV, it's not very much. Like, an episode of Game of Thrones cost between $6 and $8 million to make. So, like, a fraction of one episode of Game of Thrones for these films. And something like 80 million people in the US have watched one every year. Like, they sit down and watch them, which means you can sell ads, which means you can, you know, you can sell them onto channels in the UK and Ireland and so on, and you make your money on the back.
So give us a few titles then. We have the one that we'll all be interested in. Tis the Season to Be Irish.
Tis the Season to Be Irish, yeah. So this is basically about a woman called Rose who travels to Ireland to renovate and flip a cottage, but the local realtor, Sean, thinks it's a bad idea. We should give them credit here, though. They did actually film it in Ireland, and a lot of the cast are Irish as well, which is more than can be said for a lot of American films about Ireland.
Yeah. That,
you know, so, you know, in fairness, they put a bit of effort in there. You know, they kind of follow a bit of a pattern in terms of the plot line. It's usually about, you know, successful businesswoman travels to her hometown and finds love and then abandons her career, you know, that nasty career. She just wants love, really. You know, that's kind of the, you know, the idea. But, you know, Deck the Walls, another woman called Rose, a different woman, returns to her hometown to help her brother with a charity event, and she meets a former love of hers, and what's going to happen.
Special mention for Hot Frosty on Netflix.
Yes, about a muscular snowman who comes to life and starts dating someone locally. Yeah,
I love it. Adam, thanks so much. Adam McGuire.